Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
The headline from Russia this morning, Putin pushed to call up more troops. Western estimates suggest Russia is losing more men on the battlefield than it can recruit to replace them. Let's go to Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, this, I would think, would affect the Russian military for years to come, right?
Absolutely, Bob. Hello from Odessa. The all-clear alarm is sounding right now here. There were missiles were launched by Russians from the Crimean Peninsula, which is just across the sea. For me, a little bit to the southwest, they flew over Odessa, but they went toward that shipbuilding city of Mykolaiv. But we don't have any more information on that. And meanwhile, yes, I mean, Russians, they have on Russian soil, you have Ukrainian army in the Kursk region from over a month. And that's a pretty extraordinary thing that is, you know, there's not been a foreign army on Russian soil since World War II. We had the news yesterday that Ukrainians using drones hit one of Russia's biggest ammunitions and weapons depots in Torpets. These are extraordinary feats, you know, that no one really could have imagined in February and March of 2022 when Ukraine was so weak, when Russians were on the edge of Kyiv. And so I'd say it's a pretty serious situation that Russia has. Still last night there was a major Russian attack on Kharkiv city. Something like seven ballistic missiles and a mixture of glide bombs and ballistic missiles, all within about 20 minutes. And some were saying, oh, maybe this is retaliation for that major attack that caused that caused an earthquake, the Ukrainian attack on the Russian weapons depot. Some say, oh, maybe this attack on Kharkiv was a retaliation. But, you know, actually, unfortunately, seven missiles on Kharkiv is a fairly normal occurrence, at least once every few weeks. And so if it is some kind of retaliation, it's a weak one. And I think, you know, that's what we see so often when Ukrainians do something sort of surprising and extraordinary, like entering Russian territory. There's not a major response. There's a lot of rhetoric and saber rattling. But what Russians are, you know, what we see now, Russia's having to move around its troops and try to find ways to get more people to fight. So that's, you know, in a sense, some positive news for Ukraine. And I think, you know, today I was just maybe an hour ago, I was running along the seafront here in Odessa. There's these lush gardens, the Turkish garden, the Greek garden, and a promenade. And instead of hearing missiles and drones earlier today, I heard the horns of the cargo ships, which is a sign of, you know, life continuing and commerce happening even in the wartime. And I'm breathing the salty air as I'm running, and I see this glass sort of glass case in the promenade, and it covers the remains of a 4th century BC ancient Greek settlement that was here in these shores. Just little reminders of all the history, the wars, the trading, the civilizations that have been in this very territory, and there's so much history. And then I think of how history is made here, and you know, we didn't get to talk about it with all the other news the past few days. But on Saturday, I was on that same promenade just about 10 minutes after two missiles hit Odessa. It was really loud in the center. We don't know for sure exactly what they hit, but usually, you know, there's not great air defense in Odessa like there is in Kyiv. So it seemed pretty serious. But it was a very crowded evening, early Saturday, beautiful weather. And you would not have guessed if you had just been dropped into the city after the missiles that there had just been two ballistic strikes on this city. Everywhere you go, you see parents holding the hands of their children or kids by themselves on scooters, people at the sitting together at cafes or at the Potemkin steps, which go down to the Black Sea. At the top of the steps, there was a guy and a girl with a guitar. The girl was singing Ukrainian songs, and people were swaying and listening to the music. There's a little sort of a park in a cobbled traffic circle, and people bring glasses of wine and pints of beer, carried, you know, through the street to this little park just to talk and relax. There's no police telling people what to do. It's just a lovely scene. And of course, as you talk to people, everyone's talking about, oh yeah, 10 minutes ago, that was quite a shock. But you see this incredible, as I always, you know, describe it, a cheerful cheerful defiance here. And then I stopped at this little cafe called Dizengoff, which is named for the Odessan who became the first mayor of Tel Aviv. And, you know, this cafe used to be known for its fish, but you can't fish freely in the Black Sea now because of the war. So it is a bit of a struggle to get fish. But I was able to have a smoky salmon borscht with labneh, Greek yogurt, and rye pita, which is sort of a nod to the Greek, Israeli, and Ukrainian heritage in this city. And so even, you know, as missiles and drones are flying around, it is a very spirited place. And I almost got the sense after that attack on Saturday that every cafe, every passing car, they turned their music up louder, you know, in defiance of, I mean, it was incredibly loud, louder than the missile attack. And then this morning I went to, there's a place called the Book Market here. It's a series of stalls under a portico in the middle of a leafy boulevard. And it really should be called the coffee market. Within just one block, there's 8 or 9 craft coffee places where you can get some of the, I can have some of the best coffee I've ever had anywhere in the world. 8 different places all in one spot. And people like to gather there and, you know, you sit outside and talk. And so that is the spirit and feel of this very genteel city, even as it takes some bruisings from the Russians.
It's amazing. And whenever you paint those idyllic pictures for us, those scenes, I can't help but think how incredible the people are there, despite the bombings, the missile and drone strikes, to keep their sense of humor, their love of music, and the way they enjoy just life there despite the war. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to get annoyed sometimes, and you know, people drive by with loud music back in America, and now, yeah, you know, you see after, you know, it's a much better sound, even if you don't like that type of whatever type of music it is, than a missile. And I respect, you know, the spirit of defiance. And as I think about, you know, like the missiles that were just launched a few minutes ago, that came from Crimea, which, as long as Crimea is under Russian control, a place like Odessa is always going to be completely vulnerable to these surprise attacks. And so that underscores why. And maybe this will be, you know, we see Ukrainians on Russian soil in the north, but we do know that the big project, one of the big projects, is to get the Crimean Peninsula. But we'll see what happens next.
Hopefully peaceful sounds for a while for you there, Joseph. Thank you very much. It's always amazing to hear those slices of life. Talk to you tomorrow.